our mission statement as an organization is patients first, people always. And so for me, it's really important when I'm setting strategy with my leadership team that we connect everything back to the why. So it's always about the patient and then the experience that we're creating for anyone that we may serve in the process of bringing someone into the organization. I would say the last couple of years have really, of course, been a focus on AI and how can we continue to automate. We did take this function from a decentralized function that sat in HR across various divisions to a centralized model back in 2013 and have really been refining it ever since.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Tara Darnell. Tara is the VP of TA Strategy and Workforce Planning at Sutter Health. Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here this morning.
Great. Looking forward to our conversation. Let's start out and just frame out your background a little bit, as we always do, how you got started in the talent space and your impressive run at Sutter Health.
Sure thing. All right. So I won't take up too much time with this, but going back to emerging from college and not knowing what I wanted to do, which I'm dealing with the same thing with my teenager nowadays, right? I fell into recruiting, as many of us do, working for a small clerical firm right out of college. And I did a stint with an executive search firm. And I'm like, I'm really starting to like this recruiting thing. Never really had a lot of exposure to healthcare. I worked for Accountants Incorporated up here in the Sacramento area. And Sutter Health was actually one of my clients, and I received some care from them, and so did my family, which was just outstanding from a quality perspective. And I was like, I want to work there. I started here in 2008. The rest is history. I started as a recruitment manager overseeing a small team in home care and hospice recruitment, and just put a bunch of standard work into that process there to really make it more efficient and streamline, easier for both candidates and hiring managers. And then moved into a regional role, took on a director role in 2016. And I've been in this VP role for the last 4 years now, and just really involved in more setting the strategy of the organization, the employer brand and recruitment marketing strategy, our administrative fellow internship programs, executive recruitment, and contingent workforce. And then most recently, I added workforce planning to the mix in the last couple of years. And that's been really fun, just learning from other industries how they're doing this well, how to put together a really robust talent forecast, and then work alongside recruitment operations on my team to activate it. So that's the scope of my role now.
That's great. That's pretty significant. Workforce planning is a big challenge to try to get right, but very important and value added. Yeah, let's scope out Sutter Health for those who aren't familiar with you. So talk me a little bit about the business, how many employees, how many hires do you do, and then maybe the size of your TA team to support that.
Okay. So Sutter Health is the 10th largest healthcare system in the United States. We're an integrated healthcare system. So you likely heard me mention home care and hospice earlier. We're comprised of employees and medical groups. So we have about 60,000 employees total And our footprint spans down into the Santa Barbara area and across the Oregon border. So mostly all of California, except for some parts in the deep south of California. Average, we're doing right around 20,000 a year. And so keeping in mind, we don't replace 20,000 people a year. Some of that's attrition. About 50% of our hires are new to the organization and the other 50 are transitioning within the organization. Operating in California regulatorily and from a union perspective is challenging. So we have to post every position, be it a schedule change from a union perspective. And my team is about 120. So I mentioned the verticals earlier in terms of the structure. And we sit in the HR umbrella. So I report directly to the CHRO. Our VP over talent development and organizational learning is my dyad partner, along with all the other HR folks in the org.
Great. Thank you for that. Let's dive into a little bit. Maybe what are some initiatives that you and your team have worked on over the last couple of years that you're proud of or that you want to mention?
Sure. Our mission statement as an organization is patients first, people always. And so for me, it's really important when I'm setting strategy with my leadership team that we connect everything back to the why, right? So it's always about the patient and then the experience that we're creating for anyone that we may serve in the process of bringing someone into the organization. I would say the last couple of years have really, of course, been a focus on AI and how can we continue to automate. We did take this function from a decentralized function that sat in HR across various divisions to a centralized model back in 2013 and have really been refining it ever since. I'm really focusing on automation. We had a number of manual tasks that the team was still are processing, but working with neighboring teams, both in the recruitment and onboarding process to streamline that. So we have a big vertical around process optimization in partnership with our HRIS partners, EHS and others. And then automation in terms of making the candidate journey as frictionless as possible. So we've worked with a couple of vendors to aid us in that space, implemented a CRM and career website platform technology last fall. And our traffic to our site is higher than it's ever been. We're making more impressions than we ever have. We made some investments in the LinkedIn Enterprise platform as well. So that's really paid off in terms of establishing our brand, having all of our employees pushed out as ambassadors and just becoming viral in that space, if you will. So I would say AI, process optimization, and then really leveraging the technologies that we've invested in to ensure that we have adoption across our team and that we are truly creating a better experience for our hiring managers and our candidates.
Yeah. That's great. I love how you started in that space. I see a lot of people starting maybe down into other types of technology first before automating routine tasks. And it usually doesn't work because there's no way to scale the current organization. So that's usually the biggest bang for the buck. And it's a really smart way to start when you start looking at what are all the kind of routine tasks or administrative tasks that people are doing that are causing both delays. And I loved how you talked about not removing all the friction for the candidates. That's ultimately important. No, there's so many stops and starts in a typical recruiting process, and that is nothing but frustration for a candidate. So it's really great that you started there. And that's the type of foundation to build off of to do really great things.
Yeah, that's what I found. Starting with the problem, right? When I took over in the director role, our average days to fill, some cases were 60 days, and that's just outlandish. Now our average time to fill is 37. So I was, both me and my leadership team have been put through pretty rigorous lean training and project management training, which has helped us maintain that rigor. I find that a lot of people in this space, it's like, what problem are we trying to solve? And then they kick off and getting deep into value stream mapping and actually looking at every potential bottleneck in the process, it's exhausting, right? It wears a lot of people out and they're like, forget it. Hopefully we'll get better. Changed a couple things. And so we've been really intentional about maintaining that focus and that rigor until we get the result that we're looking for. And we have a 5-prong survey that we do biannually so we can ensure that we're improving the process. And then after we make improvements, we have a feedback loop with our customers, be that internal hires, external hires, or managers saying, we heard you in the survey. These are the things that were broken that we've been working on fixing. And then here's solutions that we've implemented to make your lives easier. And some people read that, others don't. But that feedback loop, I think, is really critical to holding ourselves accountable for meeting the needs and removing that friction.
Yeah, that's great. You're speaking my language. I grew up in manufacturing. manufacturing. So I'm a Lean Six Sigma disciple from way back. And yeah, I really love value stream mapping and the power it can bring, especially to a TA process. It lends itself perfectly. Huge opportunity to identify waste and constraints and then leverage automation to deliver great results. And really, it's about those outcomes, the experience and the outcomes. And yeah, after doing hundreds of opportunity assessments around all sorts of different types of business organizations, I consistently find that the top performing organizations are delivering talent in less than 40 days on average. And so you're well below that. That's great. And probably some more opportunity to go. So let's talk about that. So what's next? What do you see in the future at Sutter Health?
I mentioned the platform we launched last fall. So for us, it's ensuring there's adoption. Technology is expensive, right? My goal was to get from a disparate a la carte model where we were paying for a texting vendor, a video suite vendor, a recruitment marketing firm. I really wanted to consolidate that all into one stack. So a big focus for us this year is ensuring that adoption, and we've set really intentional KPIs around what does success look like for us. So I mentioned some of the metrics around traffic. We're, of course, looking at conversions regularly. So ensuring that we apply the same amount of rigor to adoption and that technology and being intentional about our outcomes and constantly celebrating successes with our team on wins and who went above and beyond and achieved a great result. That's going to be as big for us this year. And it feels good to be not in the implementation planning space. I've been there, I think, for the last 5 years. So we went from a single ATS to an HCM, like during COVID. So that was a bit of a nightmare. And then we changed our MSP on the contingent side of the house shortly thereafter. And then we went through this big launch with a new technology last year. So I am so pleased to say that for the time being, I'm out of the implementation planning space, and we're actually working on optimization and stabilization of all of the technologies that we've implemented. So that's a huge focus for us this year.
Yeah, that's got to feel good. Understand the implementation. I've got some friends who've described it as one of the gates of hell. It's a necessary evil. It never goes perfectly. You have to go in with that expectation, design, adapt, be a leader in the process to make sure the integrations and workflows get designed correctly for your needs. But it is always very challenging. A lot of respect for the folks who do that work and get it to where it needs to be. So it is a real luxury to be on the other side of that for sure and then start driving the results. So I'm sure your life feels much better right now.
Right.
You did talk about a couple times you've mentioned some different metrics. I always like to ask folks like at Sutter Health, how do you measure TA performance? Maybe what kind of dashboards you provide up to executives and what kind of metrics do you look at internally for the TA team?
Yeah, I love that you made that split. Some people don't. That's extremely important, right? What matters to our executive audience? And back in 2015, when I originally took the director role, we weren't sharing metrics. It was kind of just like, trust us, we're doing our job. And yeah, we're doing it in 60 days. It wasn't really sustainable until I brought that transparency to the process. I really didn't have trust and respect to the customers. To answer your question about dashboards, we have an outstanding and very sophisticated digital team here. So I have a people analytics leader. They leverage Power BI platform, among others, and just have really helped us propel ourselves into a space where we can share our outcomes with the leaders. It's a self-service module. They can jump into it if they're curious, but we have a regular cadence of rounding with our A teams in both the ambulatory and acute environments to share like how long it's taking to fill, what specialties are taking longer than others, and then what recruitment strategies have we activated to close some of those gaps? How are we sourcing? What does our kind of passive candidate pool look like for some of those job families? I have a workforce planning dashboard that I created in partnership with this team. And this was in the absence of ever getting a workforce planning team established. So I was like, all right, if I can't have the people, let me bring the insights to the customers so they understand like these are huge staffing gaps. So that dashboard incorporates everything from absence rates and LOA return dates so they can really look at what their staffing gap is and analyze that and determine what levers need to be pulled. So it has some fantastic drill down functionality into the department level. It shows exits from the organization, new hires month over month, folks in onboarding and where their status is in that journey, and then open recs, of course, and those that have been frozen or on hold. So it's very self-service. It's in a placemat type of visual for executive leaders. And then on the other side of that, in terms of it continuing that rigor that I described earlier with my team, last year we created a talent acquisition dashboard, which is really just for our eyes only or for anyone in HR that can see it as well. And that shows like every leader kind of what their average aging is, time to fill, what the caseloads look like, where there might be some stuckness with some of the recs, so they can dive in deep. So it has four different tabs. My view, which is the senior leader view, so I can easily report back to my CHRO. And then each of the managers has a more in-depth view that goes all the way down to each recruiter and what their aging is on any particular rec. It really helps them. And they review that every Monday morning. They're constantly balancing out caseloads. So it's helped us with efficiency and then also eliminating or mitigating burnout on our team, I should say.
No, I think that's excellent. You've done a great job kind of building a data-based structure around your delivery model and that measuring what matters to each of those different stakeholder groups and generating, you said, trust and respect. That's great. And then generally just setting expectations and removing any assumptions that happen because those are risk for you as a leader there. And taking that out and having the data tell the story is really powerful. So you've done an excellent job there. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would provide to others in the TA space? It could be our audience is made up of a lot of folks that are in the TA space and some that are interested in the TA space, and I'm sure they would love to hear any advice that you're willing to offer.
Sure. Another one of our mottos, it's like an internal kind of thing here at Sutter Health, is getting better never stops. And so my team is very committed to the atomic habits and getting 1% better every day. And that may sound exhausting to some, but it really keeps us hyper-focused on preventing complacency. And I started out early in my career and I was learning, absorbing everything. I want to go to every conference, and that can be really overwhelming. It's great to get best practices from other leaders and see what's worked well, but there can be a big maturity gap in what organization A is doing versus B and where B wants to go. So advice that I would give is pace yourself. I would only pick three top priorities in any given year and really stick to those, socialize them just continuously with your teams. My goal is to make sure that the lowest level employee in my organization knows what our mission is, what our strategy is, and how we intend to get there.
That is such great advice. I hear that and see that often, that you almost reserve yourself, I call it reserving yourself to great levels of mediocrity if you have anything more than three key initiatives. You've got to focus. It's one of the hardest things for people to do. Saying no is really difficult, especially with all the noise and advice that you're getting from the organization. But it's the only way to truly drive transformational results versus incremental results. And so fantastic advice. Tara, thank you so much for your transparency and all that you've shared today. I think it would be really valuable for the audience, and I really appreciate you joining me.
Thank you for having me, and good luck, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.